Father, I thank you for this wonderful man, Daniel. Lord, we've got a long ways to go to be like him. But I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful for his example. I'm grateful for his single purpose in life. And help us to become like that. And I pray for anyone here today that is kind of lost in situations and has lions at their door, that this might be a turning point for them. We so need to hear your voice, Lord. Be our teacher and our guide, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can follow along if you want. I'm going to go back to a couple of verses in 16 and 17 of chapter 6. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." In verse 17, then a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of the lords that purposed concerning Daniel that this might not be changed. I don't know if you got seals all over the door, nothing can be changed. But you know what? Darius's conscience was tormenting him. He had become good friends with Daniel. And I know studying this week, I realized Daniel was an amazing friend to all the kings, perhaps with the exception of Belshazzar. But that's all right. They had nothing in common, really. But Darius had put Daniel's life into danger by signing into law this 30-day prayer ban that people could only pray to the king. It must have appealed to his pride, for sure. He had tried all afternoon to find a loophole in the law that he could deliver Daniel. As the sun set, Darius' conscience began screaming at him to find a solution that would save the man who could save his kingdom from corruption. And we had a lot of questions about what did that den look like? Well, none of us really know, but I found this reading this week. I found a couple of them. And I thought this might be a good description. An Old Testament scholar, C.F. Keel, describes a holding pen for lions that was observed in Morocco. It was underground and open to the sky, and a 4-foot-tall wall surrounded the circumference of the cave cavern. The cavern had a wall that divided it in half, and there was a door in the wall that could be raised and lowered from above. The keepers could throw meat into one side of the cavern and raise the door to allow the lions to get into it. Lowering the door left half the cavern empty, making it suitable for cleaning. Such a cavern would fit the lion's den Daniel found himself in. Now, I found another one, but it would take quite a while to read it. I just know that it wasn't underground as such, but it was open to the sky, but it had a nice wall around it so the lions couldn't hop out. At least, if I were one of the feeders to the lions, I would make sure they couldn't jump out. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And then this wonderful answer comes out. But I don't know if you can ever do this, but I do it where I try to picture myself going into that den and just maybe initially the fear of it. You know, they're going to eat me? Is God going to spare me? But the initial roars faded quite quickly, and something seemed to hold the lions back. Some laid down yawning. None of them moved towards Daniel. In fact, a couple of the young ones laid down next to him so he could scratch their ears or back, and they'd be a lot warmer. And Daniel said to himself, "Thanks be to God. He has stopped the mouths of these fierce beasts, and they will do me no harm." Soon Daniel was asleep. His head was cushioned by a lion's body. Meanwhile, the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians. So also sleep went from him. While Daniel slept like a lamb, Darius even was tossing about, and then he was walking about, and here Daniel had all these lions watching him, and he was sleeping soundly. I think that's kind of fun. So he was counting the minutes until the sun up so he could go and ask, "Why did I..." You can just see Darius saying to himself, "Why did I agree to play the role of God in this situation?" And haven't you ever done that? Why did I say that? Or why did I do that? And I can't back off of it. And regret. But I want to give you a side note about your regrets. Is that you need to take them to the Lord and ask the blood of Jesus to cover them and heal the memories. The purpose, the real purpose of this is not going back and reliving it. The Lord is not in the past as such. He is the great I Am. He will deliver you. He will meet you right today. And so often we want to go back and relive that and say, "Oh, if I had only done that, if I hadn't divorced so-and-so, if I hadn't," and on goes the list. Well, it cost Darius Daniel's life, it looked like, initially. And it certainly cost him his dinner and a night of sleep. The lions wanted to eat but couldn't. The king could eat but wouldn't. It was interesting night in Persia. With miraculous intervention, and it really showed beyond a shadow of doubt that Daniel's God was real and powerful. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to heaven when I can just stroke lions. But I don't know if I could fall asleep that quickly in a den of them. Well, the king was exceedingly glad for Daniel, and so he should have been. Take Daniel up out of the den, he ordered. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. The king was delighted in Daniel's survival. He checked him over carefully. Daniel came out completely uninjured. Interesting thing, it was brought up at leaders' meeting yesterday by Kate, which I missed altogether, was found in verse 23. The king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury was found because he believed in his God. And Kate shared something I thought was so beautiful, was that Daniel didn't criticize the king. He could have said, "You stuck me in that lion's den. That wasn't very nice. That's what I would have done." Or he didn't have any anger, saying, that could have cost me my life. And he didn't criticize, he didn't defend himself, and there was no judging. I thought that was really neat, that Daniel was such a man of God that he didn't take his personal feelings out. Now, I don't know what's going to happen to you today, but something might come up where you want to tell somebody off, or that driver on the freeway, you know? And we're so quick to be critical, so quick try to not get all the facts. So anyway, Daniel was able to escape without a scratch, only because of God's direct intervention. Be it angels or whatever. Now, I should ask that as a question. What delivered Daniel? Was this the an angel? Was this the Lord? What? Well, I think it was the Lord through some angels. And so what happens next is justice. He calls for the king. The king calls for this and makes a command to cast these guys that tried to trip up Daniel into the den of lions. With them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before there ever came to the bottom of the den. Those guys were hungry. They did not want to chew an old Jew, but the lions certainly went after the fluffy Persians, and it was just those that had, you know, schemed together to try to get Daniel out of the picture, because everybody liked Daniel so much, and he was going to have a very, very wonderful future, and they were afraid of that. But it's interesting how one scene conveys serenity and peace under the will of God in the den of lions, and then the other, chaos and judgment under the will of man. And of course the question comes up, was Darius saved? Now, I don't believe he was, but if you do, it's fine. I just take certain verses here that Darius talks to Daniel about his God, but it's Daniel's God. He says, your God. And then it goes back into verse 16, your God, and he will deliver you. And it goes on, and he doesn't say our God. And then I carefully went over the sonnet, I don't know what else to call it, in verse 26 that Darius comes up with. It's lovely. It really is. But nowhere in this little sonnet does he claim that Daniel's God is his God. He says some wonderful things, though. That you'd be steadfast forever. His kingdom is one, shall never be destroyed. How true. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? But see, there isn't anything there personal. That's why I don't think he's saved. I think he's moving in the right direction, and perhaps that comes about. But I'll leave that as a challenge question for you. He expressed faith. That's true, that Daniel would survive the lion's den. But you can express faith all the time that the cookies you just ate and a few other things aren't going to poison you, nor the coffee, be it church coffee. We just live by faith. So it's different than saving faith. And even in 16, he says, God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. But he didn't demonstrate that during the night. He was awake all night, worrying. You mean that's not okay? No, that's not okay. You start worrying during the night, then you got to get into the Word. You got to find some verses to back up whatever you're worried about. because the Lord tells us not to do that. And it's so easy to fall into that, isn't it? Well, there's no sign of saving faith, I don't believe, but that's all right. If you can pick it out and feel that you're comfortable with it. But Darius could definitely see the difference between the Mesopotamian gods, plural, and Daniel's God. And yet, no one could see him. I think that's wonderful, too. Anyway, verse 21 and verse 22. That's the kindness of Daniel telling the king, God has shut the mouths of these lions. And I think that's something not to forget, because we have lions in our lives all the time. Somebody walks on your property, falls, breaks their neck, and there's a lawsuit. Well, where did that come from? I'm such a nice guy. Why would anybody sue me? But you don't know from day to day. Surprises happen. But the way I look at it here is that Daniel had much more work to do. And that's when we're probably going to part the ways, because we'll be looking at prophecy. And you're going to say, well, my church taught it this way. My Sunday school class did it this way. And so on. And I'll say, okay, we're just going to look at Scripture, and then you can decide. But regardless of Daniel's fate, it was miraculous, any way you cut it. There wasn't a shadow of doubt that Daniel's God was real and powerful. And the reason Daniel was able to escape, because he believed in his God. Faith is the key. And I really stewed over that. I thought, how single-minded is my faith? I'm pretty good for a while, and then I get off on something. But remember, Jesus, when we studied the life of Christ in Luke 7:9, Jesus could not heal many in his hometown. Why was that? Because where there's faithlessness, it prevents the Lord from working many miracles. God wants to work miracles, but you have faith. Next time you go to prayer, think about it. Am I exercising my faith in this? Am I believing that God can answer this? Am I standing on Scripture that says God will do it? Or am I trying to just be faithless and not have any miracles? There's miracles to be had every day. And Daniel understood this principle. So the tough old Jew got out of a lot of painful things with those lions, and the Persians were eaten for breakfast. And so, of course, the question comes up, was this fair? I always have to ask that of Scripture. That's why you get the questions you get. But in that day, it was the way it was done, that you killed off the whole family. And I think it makes good sense. Oh, you cruel person. But if you just throw the father to the lions, then the kids have that experience. Mm-hmm. And down the line, they can say, well, Dad did this, and he got eaten, but we won't. And you can start making up stories for your family. And then I was reminded yesterday that Achan was an interesting soul. When they went into the Promised Land, they went to Jericho first, and God had told them, don't take anything. Everything's under the ban. It all comes to me. And a fellow named Achan decided, well, that piece of clothing looks really good, and here's some jewelry, and so on. Well, how serious did God take that disobedience? He took Achan and the rest of his family and had them stoned to death. So remember this, without faith it's impossible to please God. And think about all the lions that are all around us, you know, lions of old habits and sins. And if he has saved you, then he's able to win the battle for you. Don't try to take on a battle by yourself. He will deliver you from the wild beasts in your life. All kinds of things happen to us. Sometimes we're delivered from them, and other times we're not. I was thinking about ISIS and how ISIS took these Christians and beheaded them. Now, could God have delivered those Christians from ISIS? Yes, but he didn't. Now, I believe he saved Daniel. But remember this, God did not keep Daniel from the lions. See, and that's when I start thinking, oh yeah, he had to walk into that, or he was thrown into it. And but there we go again. We can face lions of temptation and opposition. They snarl all around us. But when we put our trust in the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, we do not need to fear any of them. You just have to learn to work through them. And it's not so bad. We know where we're going. The same God who delivered Daniel is the God who is able to deliver those who, like Daniel, believe in him. You have to ask yourself, do I really believe in the Lord? Do I believe he can take me out of this situation? Well, Daniel had to go into the lions, but God kept him from being eaten. You can win the battle in your own strength? No. You'll be sorry. You'll end up bruised and bitten and a few other things. The only way to go forward is on your knees. Well, Liz, you don't do anything. You're just home all the time. And you have it pretty easy. You can pray a lot. Listen, I didn't start praying this week. I learned way back when I was first brought to the Lord that prayer was the only way I was going to move forward. I didn't know where I was going either. But I learned to get on my knees. Well, you didn't have anything going on at home. Well, I had 6 kids at home. And that was a lot going on. I even went back to college to get my Bible degree when they were still home. And I learned to get up early and have my time with the Lord. Now, it's my habit to read through the scriptures every year. And I try to do it in a different translation. And I don't say I have to do 4 chapters. I do what I feel like in the morning or what time I have. In other mornings, I have a lot of time. And I read through them. That's my meat. That's my manna. And some of you like to read devotionals. That's fine too. But true power is found in true prayer, and true prayer must become a serious habit in our lives. Just do it. Most of us know what to do. We just don't do it. But I would feel naked if I started the day without the Word of God and without prayer. And anytime you gals call me, or I get a phone call, or I have an emergency, that goes in my prayer book. And I get verses for that. And I pray you through those situations. And it gets thicker and thicker. And then I cross them out and praise God when they're done. And that's a lot of fun to do. We have such a faithful God. He's just waiting for you to meet with him. And if maybe the only quiet place in your home is the bathroom, then go in the bathroom. I used to do that a lot. It was better than killing my children. No. It was better to get down on my knees and ask God for help. And just adopt a method of praying. You don't need to be like mine. But I thought, I really need to know the Word of God. And I've become very comfortable in it. And that too can be yours. It'll become so important to you as you push into roaring lions, and you realize that roaring lion is nothing more than Satan trying to devour you. You know, Daniel wasn't ashamed to be known as a man of prayer, and neither should we. I copied this down this week. I thought it was really good. It said, if anyone could have offered the excuse, I don't have time to pray, it would have been Daniel. Because imagine the demands on his time as governor of the mighty Medo-Persian world. Yet he found time. He not only found time once a day, three times each day to pray. And if he could do that, even at the point of death, then he became that wonderful man known as a prayer warrior. And we need to be that today. There's so many things between our schools and our government and our families that need prayer. And start writing them down and see how God answers. And then look for verses that back up those prayer requests. You'll get more familiar with the Word of God. Father, I thank you again for the life of Daniel. He was single-focused. And regardless of what would happen to him, he stayed single-focused. And Lord, we need to learn how to go up against lions in our lives, Lord, especially that one called Satan, that we might live for you, that we might have a prayer book full of answers to prayer, knowing that you have answered every one of them. We thank you, Lord, that you are available at any time, any place, upside down, right side up, in a car, in a bathroom. You are there, Lord, and I'm so grateful for that, because our prayers mean so much to you. We'll simply give you all the praise for what you will do with each of us this week. And I pray especially that no one would get devoured by a lion this week, but would count on you, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.